Thank you, Willie, for that wonderful time of worship. We thank God for the music, because it kind of prepares our hearts and then it draws us in into God's presence, so we may experience His life-changing power. Before we get into the message this morning, let me acknowledge and thank those of you who will later be listening to this message after we post it on our website. We're so glad that even though you can't be with us this morning, you will be able to carve out some time later to listen to the Word of God from the comfort of your home. This morning, we are going to continue in our series that we've been calling Keeping It Real. Keeping It Real. From 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as well as Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. So far, we have gone through 1st John and Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. We are now in the second letter of John. Last week, we talked about walking in the truth. But today, we will explore John's command again to love one another, from 2 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 6 in a message that I've entitled A Reminder to Walk in Love. A reminder to walk in love. A reminder, because this is not the first time John is talking about loving one another or walking in the truth, walking in love. He addressed this subject in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, where Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, John says, "Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard before." What message is he talking about? The message to love God and to love others. So in the same manner, John writes to the chosen lady and her children, including the church which met in their house. In our text, 2 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. 2 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. When you find it, could you please stand in honor of the reading of God's word? I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Beginning to read at verse 5, the Bible says, "And now, dear lady, I'm writing to remind you that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us. And He has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. He has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. Eternal and immortal God, we thank you, we honor you, we give you praise and glory because you are God and there is no one like you. Our prayer this morning is that you may bless our time in your word. Illuminate the scriptures and cast light on our passage of scripture this morning. May our minds be alert and our hearts receptive to the Spirit of God and what he is saying to the church today. We ask that the Holy Spirit will drive this word to our hearts and enable us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In your name, Jesus, we have prayed. And somebody in the house said amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A reminder to walk in love. A reminder to walk in love. One, can seldom afford to talk about love without alluding in some fashion to the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul says in verses 1 to 3, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain absolutely nothing. Zero. Now, our big idea question this morning is, what does it mean to walk in love? What does it mean to walk in love? However, before we attempt to answer that question, we need to first understand what love is and what it is not. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So, let's begin with what love is not. Love is not envious. That means it does not envy. Envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, gifts, success, or possessions. Envy is a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, coupled with a lustful desire to possess the same advantage by all means necessary. Here are some of the marks of envy. Not rejoicing with others when they achieve something, because their success makes you feel jealous. In your imagination, if anybody succeeds, it has to be you and nobody but you. Me, myself, and I. When you are envious, you always feel the need to diminish someone else's achievements. You judge others negatively and rejoice in their setbacks, misfortunes, and failures. You get a kick out of it. Love is not proud or arrogant. That means it does not boast. Pride, boasting, arrogance has misled a lot of people into a trap. A trap of thinking too highly of themselves than they ought to. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of him or herself more highly than he or she ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Pride or boasting also can cause strife, dissension, discord, and arguments, which only destroys relationships. One of the primary things a proud person is fond of doing is pointing out the shortcomings, weaknesses, and failures of others. He or she becomes jealous of others, often becoming self-assertive, sarcastic, and resentful. Such proud people are overly quarrelsome, holding others to a standard they can't keep themselves. Love is not rude. That means it is not self-seeking. Rude simply means to behave in a way that is improper, indecent, and disgraceful. It is shameful because it brings reproach. It refers to words or actions that are offensive, hurtful, embarrassing, and shaming to others. Paul, again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, says, "Love is not rude and bad-mannered. It is not unkind. It rejects rudeness because it is ungodly, impolite, and disrespectful. In fact, rudeness is an indicator that loving others is diminishing or missing in the picture. Treating others with contempt, disrespect, disdain, and utter rudeness is an indication that you don't care about them, and nobody wants to hear what you have to say until they know that you care. Love is not self-seeking. Self-seeking speaks of selfishness, seeking your own advantage in putting yourself before others. It means to behave in an ugly, indecent, ill-mannered, impolite, or insulting way. Self-seeking people are often controlling, manipulative, abusive, crude, insensitive to those around them. They do not honor others because that would take the focus off of them, and their desire is to keep the focus on me, myself, and I. They want to be the subject of every conversation and the focus in any gathering. They want others to notice and admire them. They look for what they can get from others rather than what they can give. What's in it for me? So it's about me. Paul, again, in his letter to the Philippians, in chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit," which means self-importance or pride, "but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Self-seeking attitudes have doomed marriages, split churches, divided families, and destroyed relationships. So beware of this trap and resist any self-seeking attitudes. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. To be easily angered means to be easily provoked or stirred up, to be irritated or touchy, to yield to provocation. Whereas to be not easily angered means not to fly into a rage, or to keep your temper under control. Because if you fly into a rage, you will regret what will happen after that. Because you can actually shock people when you are upset. You do things, you say things that you normally don't say. You do things and say things that are out of character. And you surprise people. Keeping a record of wrongs is a long-term decision to hold on to bitterness and resentment, to choose not to forgive. This attitude produces resentment, bitterness, and impatience with the shortcomings or weaknesses of others. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Therefore, be quick to forgive and release people from prison." And as someone said, only to realize that you were that prisoner. Now that we understand what love is not, let's quickly answer the question, what is love? No one in Scripture ably defines love in detail more than Paul, who in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 says, love is simply showing kindness and exercising patience with people. Kindness being a behavior marked by ethical characteristics, a pleasant disposition, concern, and consideration for others. Goodness, compassion, sympathy, affection, gentleness, warmth, and care are some of the words that describe kindness. Simply stated, kindness is how agape love treats other people with respect and admiration, as well as empathy. Not with aggressiveness, hostility, partiality, bias, or favoritism. Whereas patience means long-suffering with other people's faults and offenses, unconditionally. It means to be forgiving and accommodating. It is choosing to love one another because every person has intrinsic value, because we are all created in the image of God, in spite of our flaws. Patience is an expression of love, which understands the frailties of human nature and refuses to take offense as an act of compassion. Paul, again, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love speaks well of others. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for building up as the need may be, that it may give grace to those who hear. So we demonstrate the love of Christ by building each other up instead of tearing each other down. So please develop a habit, a good habit, of speaking well of people. Speaking well of your loved ones, the people that put up with you every day, speak well of them. That includes your spouse. That includes your boss. That includes your church community. John says to the chosen lady, I commend you for walking in truth with some of your sons. And now, I command you to walk in love. So, what does John mean when he says we should walk in love? To walk in love is not to be envious. To walk in love is not to be arrogant and self-seeking. To walk in love is not to be rude and easily angered and not keeping a record of wrongs. That's in context. Walking in love means keeping the commandments of the Lord by being obedient to the word of God, which means we must know the word of God, which is the truth, in order to love others. Truth and love are an unbeatable team, a winning combination, a dynamic duo. Truth without love makes a person harsh, but love without truth is dangerous. Verse 6 of our text, John says, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands." That means true love for God is revealed by our obedience to God's commands in loving others like we love ourselves. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 to 3, in the New International Version says, "This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome." So, this is love for others, which is revealed by our actions. It's revealed by how we care for people. It's revealed by us showing compassion and kindness, showing forgiveness, and by accepting, listening, helping, giving, serving, and spending time with them. We can't claim to love God, who we have not seen, unless we love our brothers and sisters, who we can see. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18 says, "This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words only or speech, but let us love with actions and in truth. This commandment to love one another bears repeating again and again, so that we don't miss the rewards of the promises of God to those who walk in obedience." So this commandment is the same commandment from the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength or your might." And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 18, scripture says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. And that means do unto them as you would have them do unto you. That is the golden rule. In Matthew 22, Jesus sums up the law with a call to love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. "If you love God, you will worship you will not worship other gods because you love God. If you love God, you will not bow down to an idol. If you love God, you will not misuse his name. If you love God, you will worship him and him alone. You will not worship idols. Love also sums up the second column of the law in Romans chapter 13, verse 9, which says, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So when we are obedient to the first four of the Ten Commandments, we are loving God. And when we are being obedient to the next six commandments, we are loving others, thus fulfilling the requirements of the law. And trust me, if we do that, we shall by no means miss the promised rewards from the Lord for our obedience to his commands. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you after listening to your word. Our prayer is that you may help us to take this word and apply it to our lives. Help us, Lord Jesus, to strive to walk in love. Help us, Lord Jesus, not to walk in the flesh, but to live lives that are going to bear witness that we belong to Jesus, that we are following the commandments of our God. Allow us to align ourselves with your word this morning. Our prayer is that it will not return to the void, but it will accomplish the mission for which it was sent. May we be edified. May we be corrected. May we be challenged. May we be built up, established, and grounded in your word as followers of Jesus. Help us to live this word out to the glory of your great name. And now, to the eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, who is well able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond that which we may ask, be glory, power, and honor, now and days to come. Because we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.